Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. Perhaps the greatest of the writing prophets was Isaiah, the son of Amoz. He was a contemporary of Amos, Hosea, and Micah, and began his ministry about 740 years B.C., the year that King Uzziah died. We read this in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. He is often called the Messianic prophet because he wrote so eloquently about the coming of the Son of God. He served in the kingdom of Judah until about 681 B.C., and unsubstantiated Jewish tradition says that he was sawn in two by wicked King Manasseh. The message of this book is one of warning as well as of promise for the future. The warnings were for Judah to turn back to God before his wrath was poured out upon them. The promises were concerning the restoration of the nation after the captivity and of the glorious kingdom that would arise when the Messiah came. Contrary to Jewish beliefs that developed in the time between the Testaments, and contrary to millennial teachings today, this future kingdom would have nothing to do with physical territory or national heritage. The future kingdom which is promised by Isaiah is the spiritual kingdom of Christ, into which all who obey the gospel are added by God the Father. There is much that we may learn from Isaiah, but today we will focus on an encouraging word found at the beginning of the last third of his great book. It was a promise of deliverance that would lift the spirits of the people while they were in exile, and it is a promise that lifts us up still today when we face trials and challenges in life. Chapter 40 of Isaiah extols the greatness of God and begins with the prophecy of the forerunner of the Messiah. It continues with a recitation of the majestic power that only the God of Judah possesses. These powerful images were meant to bolster the spirits of the Jews when they had gone into captivity. They were meant to show them that even though God had executed his judgment on them, he was still their God, and he was able to deliver them when the time was right. As chapter 40 comes to a close, the despair that the Jews would experience when they were taken by the Babylonians is answered by the pledge of God's blessings delivered by the prophet in verses 28 through 31. Here the scripture says, "Do you not know, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." At the beginning of Isaiah's ministry, the kingdom of Judah was still faithful to the Lord. The kingdom of Israel, on the other hand, would survive only a few more years before going into captivity in Assyria. The message of Isaiah is primarily one of hope, looking forward to the time of the Messiah. Yet it contains warnings about the captivity that would come under Babylon about 150 years after the fall of the nation of Israel. The greatest challenge for Isaiah was to keep Judah faithful to God. Under good King Hezekiah, Isaiah was highly regarded and esteemed. But when Hezekiah died, his son Manasseh turned from God as no other king of Judah had done before him. It was primarily because of the sins of Manasseh that Judah was sent into captivity by God. Not even good King Josiah, who did much to turn Judah back to God after Manasseh's death, could avert the judgment that was coming. When we consider Judah's fall, we wonder why it was so difficult for them to remain faithful to God. Part of the reason was due to a failure on their part to take God at his word. In Isaiah chapter 46, verses 8 through 11, God declared his faithfulness to Judah. He said, "Remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things long past. For I am God and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it. The entire history of Judah and the United Kingdom before it had been one of God doing exactly what he said he would do. Everyone in Judah should have known this history and should have depended upon it, even without the additional assurances of the passage we have just read. Nevertheless, the kings and the people seemed to have collective amnesia about God's promises, and thus they fell by the wayside. By failing to take God at his word, Judah gave in to weariness as they followed the Lord. There are two aspects to this part of the discussion. First, as Judah wavered in their faith, they acted as though God had become tired himself. Isaiah accused the people of thinking that God might not be able to keep up with them. In Isaiah 40, verse 27, he asked, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God?" Now this is the context in which Isaiah proclaimed that God does not get weary as men do. And verse 28 speaks very strongly to this point. The everlasting God does not grow weary or tired. Whatever Judah may have thought or hoped about God's ability to stay up with everything they might do, Isaiah assured them that God would always be right on top of things. No matter how hard the trail, God does not get tired. The second aspect of this part of our discussion relates to the stamina of Judah. As human beings, it was to be expected that they would grow weary. They could not help but do so. Within themselves, they had no boundless resource to keep them energized in God's service. Yet this is exactly what they were called to do. How then could they carry on in God's service when the essence of their nature was to grow weary? Well, the answer, as Isaiah revealed it, lies in the stamina of God. God does not grow weary, and because of this, he is able to supply strength to those of us who do grow weary. And this is what Isaiah said in verse 29 of the text that we've just read. The God who never tires has stamina enough to give strength to his people so that they can meet every challenge in his service. There is one caveat, however. It is a warning about the gift of strength that God gives his people. In verse 31, Isaiah says that it is those who wait for the Lord who will receive strength from him. Here's the catch, as it were. God does not bestow his strength on just anyone. He only gives it to those who wait for him, that is, those who trust in him and who eagerly anticipate the opportunity to serve him. For the people of Judah to receive the strength they needed to carry on, they were only going to get it from God, and they would only receive it from him if they trusted in him and served him with all their hearts. The word wait in verse 31 is important in this context. We often use this word as a way of describing service. When we go to a restaurant, the server waits on our table. He or she keeps our glasses filled, takes our order, presents our meal, and in general sees to our every need as we dine. It is not a perfect analogy by any means, but God's people are to wait for him. We do not put on an apron and keep God's tea glass filled, but we serve him by our obedience to his word. And this is what he wants of his people. He wants us to linger at his side so that we may do his every bidding. He wants us to eagerly anticipate the opportunity to do so, and to trust him that our reward for this service will be well worth the effort that we've expended. Sadly, Judah did not wait for the Lord, therefore they did not gain new strength, and as a result, they became weary and they fell. In 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar's army broke through the walls of Jerusalem. They destroyed the city and the temple and carried the people away into captivity. The battle was lost not because of the superiority of the Babylonian army. It was lost because Judah did not wait for the Lord. They turned their backs on their only source of strength and were overcome by their enemy. It is generally easy to read of Judah's failures and shake our heads in wonder. Yet how often have we, either individually or collectively, stood in exactly the same place as God's people of old? How often have we perhaps hoped that God might somehow have lost track of us somewhere so that he doesn't know what we're up to? How much more often have we fallen by the wayside, exhausted, as though there was no way for us to carry on? Each one may answer for himself, but Christians are still people, and people are the same today as they have always been. So we need to learn the lesson of God's strength, just as Judah did so long ago. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 40, the scripture says, "One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets.'" If we are serious about our faith, this is a statement that sounds an awful lot like hard work. We are to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and also to love our neighbor as ourself. This is what the Lord requires, so it is a good thing. Yet we all know that it is possible to grow weary even when doing a good thing. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, Paul spoke to this very point. He said, "The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith." Is doing good work hard? Well, yes, it is. Is it something that can make us weary? Yes, again. But the inspired apostle says that we reap what we sow. If we give up when we get tired, we're going to reap corruption. Therefore, we must carry on, even when we get tired along the way. This is where Isaiah's words to Judah come into play in our lives. Only the most callous and superficial of Christians do not want to do what is good and right in God's service. Yet sometimes it is as though we have forgotten the place from which we gain our strength to carry on. We sometimes toil and grow weary and throw up our hands in dismay because we have been trying to do things our own way and by our own power. We need to remember that Isaiah promised that God will give strength to the weary and that he increases the power of the one who lacks might. We need to remember that God promises to give new strength to those who wait for him. He promises that they will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. If we find ourselves exhausted in the Lord's service, we may need to do a heart check. We may need to look within ourselves and see if we are truly loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind. We may need to see if we are truly waiting for him. If we are weary to the point of giving up, it may be because we have somehow drifted from God. There is one final point to be considered. It is what I consider the crowning gift of God in this manner. Looking back at what Isaiah wrote, we see that God does not promise to simply give us new strength. He promises to give us the strength to mount up with wings like eagles. He does not want us simply to trudge through life like a beast of burden. He wants us to soar through life like an eagle soars over his range. He wants us to be masters of our domain by virtue of his power, just like the eagle who fears no enemy as he glides across the sky. This is what wings like eagles means. Judah failed to trust God, and the question for us to ponder is, will we trust him ourselves? God told Judah, "Trust me, and you'll soar like eagles." Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Are you weary today? Then humble yourself in obedience to God's will. Take the Lord's yoke upon you, and he will give you strength to mount up with wings like eagles. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.